in the truth. I want you to live in the truth of the Word of God. We got to make a chance, got to make that stance and that change to shift into that. Amen? So I encourage you today. What we do when we worship God and we praise God and we exalt the Word of God is we're exalting Him and magnifying Him. And the Bible says this too. There's another powerful word about praise that's in Psalm 8. And Jesus actually quoted it when they came into the city of Jerusalem and they were all worshiping Him with the palm branches and shouting, Hosanna, blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. If you remember, when he went into the temple, He set the temple in order. He cleared it out. But the children were still singing. And the religious got very, very upset about that. And they said, do you hear what these children are saying? And Jesus said, have you never read? And he quoted from Psalm 8, verse number 2, that God has ordained praise out of the mouth of infants and nursing babes. Amen? To what? Silence the enemy. Hallelujah. So if you want the enemy to be silenced, get praise in your mouth. Amen. I like to say I'm drowning him out right now, and I'm hearing what God is saying over me. Come on, say amen. Hallelujah. God is good. Let's get on into the Word of God today. I want to talk to you about the faith of the Son of God today. In Christ Jesus, He has made us more than conquerors. How many of you believe that? He has made us more than conquerors. Through Him, we overwhelmingly conquer according to the Word of God. Here's the question I would ask you today. Are we living by faith as conquerors, and are we living by the faith of the Son of God? I think sometimes we think that our faith is just privately ours to the degree that the responsibility we have for it is the reason why we don't see what we want to see break out in our lives. I'll explain that in just a moment. If we're living in survival mode, we're not living in overcoming faith. Whenever you saw Jesus with any kind of a confrontation in faith and ministry, and even the apostles in the book of Acts, it was never about trying to find some way to avoid the crisis. It was about overcoming it. Everybody say overcome. He's called us to overcome. Now, go with me, if you would, to 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 4. These passages I'm going to share with you today are very, very familiar, but I feel like the Lord just told me today we needed to really emphasize this, and we're going to do an activation at the end of the close today, so stay with us throughout the message. 1 John 5, verse 4, you know it well. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world. Everybody say it. Our faith. Come on, say it again. Our faith. Who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So wave at me if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Come on. Wave. Even if you're at home, I can't see that you're waving. But guess what? You overcome the world by your faith. Amen. Through Him. Do you agree? We just read it in the scripture. Very important. As believers in Jesus, we've been given a measure of, I like to call it, a world overcoming faith. We've been given a measure. Romans says God has allotted to each one of us a measure of faith. Did you know that was allotted to you even before you got saved? Because you had to have faith to get saved. Even before you believed, faith was imparted to you. It's what we do with it. It's a God-given faith. But faith, how many of you know, has to be activated and faith has to be put into action? Amen? Passive faith never goes anywhere. It never moves. It never flows. And we need to understand that. We have to be responsible to steward the faith that we have been given. Now, we know this verse well. I quoted a lot. You quoted a lot probably too from Galatians 2:20. That what says, I have been what? Crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but what? Talk to me now. Christ who lives through me. And the life that I now live, I live by what? The faith of the Son of God. I live by the faith of the Son of God who what loves me, who's given His life for me. Amen. Would you agree? He loves us. But interestingly, He's loved us into a place where He's living through us, and it's His faith. And it really grabs your attention when you look at it in that way and begin to understand. There's many other scriptures that also use the same language talking about the faith of the Son of God. Now, I want to go to Matthew 8, if we could, this morning. In Matthew 8, what Jesus does here is He directs His disciples to get into the boat. He said, we're going to go to the other side of the sea. And I want to pick up with the narrative in Matthew 8, verse 23. When He got into the boat, His disciples followed Him, and behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being covered with the waves. But Jesus Himself was asleep. Don't give me a show of hands, but how many of you ever felt like in the middle of something that God was sleeping on you? Hello? We've all kind of been there, right? And they came to Him and woke Him and said, save us, Lord, we are perishing. Now, in Mark's gospel, it says, Lord, do you not care that we are perishing? How many of you know if you get in enough fear, you'll start to think things and judge the heart of God, and it's not true? Hello? How many know He cares? Hallelujah. And He said to them, why are you afraid, you men of what? Little faith. Then He got up and He rebuked the winds and the sea, and it became what? Perfectly calm. And the men were amazed, and they said, what kind of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? Now, I know I've taught this to you before, but let this be a tune-up for you today. The word there for little faith is not speaking of size of faith. Everybody with me? It's talking about the endurance of your faith. It's more linear. It's the length of your faith to follow through. It's not about the size. In fact, when he was talking about size, he said you could have the faith the size of a mustard seed, right? And you could say to a mountain, be moved, and it would move for you. So I mean, this goes to show what he was talking about here. But let me tell you, this is about that ability to endure and finish what you started believing for. Does that help you? It's to endure to the end. He is called what? The author and the finisher of our faith. Why are you afraid? You could phrase it this way. One translation does. I just don't know which one. I just wrote it. Why are you afraid, you men of short-lived faith? Now, we could all wave our hands and say there were times we had short-lived faith. We started out strong, amen? But somewhere along the line, maybe in the storm, we just got disconnected from our faith. Or we just let our faith fall apart altogether. But they had set sail in faith, but their faith ran short. And I want this to encourage you today. It's not a rebuke, but admonition is actually to correct us and get us back on the pathway. Amen? One thing we learn is that when the Lord gives you a word or gives you an assignment, there will be resistance. How many of you found that out to be true? You could be all excited about the prophetic word and the word God gave me and the dream God gave me, and I'm excited, I'm standing on this, but I'm telling you, there will be resistance. The Bible says clearly, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, but the violent take it by force. Now, we know that's a spiritual forcefulness of faith as you press through the storms, as you press through the resistance, as you even speak to the mountains and the obstacles and say, out of my way in the name of Jesus. The thing is, God doesn't want us to be a people that every time we're confronted with something, we shrink back. I used to be really good at shrinking back. I was bold and I was strong until I got hit in the mouth. And then I would want to shrink back in my faith. And there's some, we have to understand how to press through. So Jesus gets up after they awaken him, and he admonishes them, but he stayed on mission. I want you to understand that he stayed on mission, and when they arrived to the other side of the sea, they were going to carry out an assignment for the whole reason they made the journey to begin with. How many of you know, a lot of times the storm is wanting to have all your passion, all your attention, and completely get you in disarray when there's an assignment on the other side of that storm. Amen? It's the glory of God. Let's continue to read with the story in verse 28. When he came to the other side into the country of the Gadarenes, two men who were demon-possessed met him as they were coming out of the tombs. It's never a good sign when somebody greets you coming out of the tombs. They were so extremely violent that no one could pass by that way. And they cried out saying, what business do we have with each other, Son of God? Have you come to torment us before the time? How many of you know the demons know there's a time coming? The demons of hell know, but they're confused. Like, why is the Son of God even here? And why is he confronting us at this time, right? They knew that he had the authority. Now, there was a herd of many swine feeding at a distance from them, and the demons began to entreat him, saying, if you're going to cast us out, send us into the herd of swine. And he said to them, go. And they came out, get this, and went into the swine, and the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea and perished there in the waters. Is that not an amazing story? Is that not amazing? And a man from Memphis started a barbecue restaurant right there. That's a good place to start a restaurant right there. Jesus and his disciples were on a mission so that these men could be delivered. Would we agree? Would we agree? They were on a mission, and the enemy brought a storm to try to derail their assignment, but faith overcomes this world. Amen? Come on, say it with me. Faith overcomes the world. When we allow our faith to run short, many times it's because of fear, but let's be honest, a lot of times it's because of lack of trust. We just don't trust God that he's got us through this, all that. And that's something we need to, I tell you, the only way I know to develop that trust is you got to feed on his faithfulness. Amen? You feed on his faithfulness, and you cultivate faithfulness yourself and trust in God. I don't know about you, but when things don't go the way I thought they ought to go, that's when I'm the most fearful. Because it's not going the way I thought God was going to carry it out. Are you with me? And sometimes we throw up our hands and we even quit. Because the enemy designed the storm to get you to abort the mission. Amen? He designed a storm to get you to back out, quit, throw your hands up, and maybe even go as far as to wake up the master and say, do you not care? So that's why we have to be very, very careful of what's going on with this thing. Kind of, I'm always telling, I don't like storms any more than any of you do. I don't like resistance. I wish everything was clear sailing, like a greased rail, but it's not. But I do know this, as we begin to move forward in God, I do learn to recognize, oh, something's getting ready. I'm getting to the point in my life where more and more I'm beginning to realize, oh, God's getting ready to push us through into something really, really great. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Like we're going out, we're doing a missions trip, we're doing something significant, and we're starting to have a lot of this quirky things start to happen. I begin to realize, no, this is, there's much more to this than just, you know, we had a flat tire or something. This is much more deeper of a spiritual level to get us off course. Because I'm telling you, Jesus has promised that we will what? Always triumph in him. Amen? And so we have to understand that and not allow our faith to run short, okay? Now, when Jesus rose up, well, there is a term, by the way, we use, a nautical term that people use. Well, like if you're in a boat and it won't go anywhere, they say what? Dead in the water. And a lot of people's faith is dead in the water. The storm's even gone, right? The storm's gone, but they're still just adrift because of the storm. And so I'm telling you, the Lord's wanting us to get back to that place where we're on mission. Jesus rose up from a great place of peace. Would you agree? He was sleeping, and he rebuked the storm. But he didn't rise up in a panic, and he didn't say this, well, I guess we should just turn around and go back because you guys blew it. I mean, that's the way we would handle it. But he didn't. He didn't. He didn't do that. He did admonish them. He did correct them. But he also rebuked the storm, and they made it to the other side, and we read about the great victory. Amen? He always gives us, let me just say this, he always gives us the opportunity to regain our hope, okay? How many know you can't have faith without hope? To regain your hope, but also to re-engage your faith. Remember Martha and him going back and forth, right? If you'd have been here, Lazarus would not have died. This bantering back and forth with Martha, he said, I want to say unto you today, I am the resurrection. Okay, you know, do you believe in a resurrection? And she was believing in that. What she couldn't handle was the fact that Lazarus, her brother, had been in that tomb for 4 days and that Jesus was just now on the scene. And so we start to see, but if you remember, it's all said and done. Jesus said, only believe and you will see what? The glory of God. How many know sometimes you just have to decide, I'm going to believe I'm going to see the glory of God. I may not even know how this is going to look, but I'm going to believe that I'm going to see the glory of God. Amen? 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 Hallelujah. So he gives us that opportunity. Go with me over to Hebrews chapter 10. I want you to look at the verses that lead into the classic verses of Hebrews 11:1. But before we go there, let's look at a few verses leading into the chapter of faith. Beginning with verse 35 of Hebrews 10. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence. Now everybody, I know I've said this over and over, but I'm going to keep doing it till we get it. Confidence actually means bold speech or confession. Okay? Everybody with me? So he says, don't throw away your bold confession. Okay? I like the word bold because that means it's forceful. It's not timid. Okay? Which has what? Everybody say it. A great reward. Say great reward. For you have need of, oh, thank you, Lord, endurance. Thank you, Lord. I just wanted to hear that. So that when you have done the will of God, you may, come on now, receive what was promise. How many want to start receiving some promises? Okay. Well, then you have to understand the methodology that gets us there. For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay, but my righteous one, say it with me, shall live by faith. Say it again, shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Now he doesn't say, I hate him. He just says, I'm not pleased when you pull back. Everybody with me? He's not saying, I hate you. You're forever going to be on the B team or something like that. He's just saying, I don't take pleasure in you pulling back. I take pleasure in you pushing forward. We are not of those who shrink back to destruction. Amen? But we're of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. Now go to the next verse, which is the beginning of chapter 11. Now faith. Everybody say, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction or evidence of things not seen. Notice that. Faith sees something you can't see in the natural, right? Everybody with me? For by it, men of old gained approval or a testimony. Go down to verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a what? There it is again, a rewarder of those who seek him. The King James says, who diligently seek after him. Beloved, we cannot please God without faith. Do we agree? Do we agree? Stop for just a moment. If you just were just talking about a simple faith like, well, Rick said he would be here to pick me up. In a way, you have faith that I'm going to show up as you're standing out in 110 degree heat on an Arizona sidewalk. Rick told me he'd be here, right? You put your faith in my word. So if you didn't, so well, I'm not going out there because you never can trust what Rick's going to say. But in a way, when we don't believe God, it's disrespecting his promise. Because we choose to not believe him. Y'all with me? Very important to understand that. And I'm trying to simplify it to such a degree, but the weightiness of it is to understand why it doesn't please God is we're actually saying, Lord, I don't trust that word to me. And we can't overcome this world without faith. The faith that pleases God, I like to put it this way, it's aggressive and it's always moving forward. It's not a hunker down in the wine press type of faith. Just going to hide here, keep my head down low and try to avoid the enemy. Not at all, okay? Faith pleases God. And frankly, it proves to God that you believe him and you trust him. When it's all said and done, that's what faith does. Come on, we can't even get saved without faith, right? Do you believe that grace is what we're saved by? Amen? It's the free gift of God. Do we all agree that? Your salvation is the free gift of God to you. But guess how it's received? Through faith. Through faith, you receive the gift of your salvation. It's called the spirit of faith. The same spirit of faith that the believers of old had to operate in. It's the same spirit of faith. Here's the thing. What you might say, well, what's the difference? They applied the spirit of faith to an inferior covenant. We have the better, greater covenant. Amen? Based upon the promises of God through Christ Jesus' sacrifice. And so we have an even greater covenant than they had. But they also had to walk in faith. Because we celebrate them. They are the great cloud of witnesses who've gone before us. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, let's look at what Paul says about this spirit of faith. In 2 Corinthians 4:13, he says, having the same spirit of faith. Everybody say, same spirit of faith. Come on now. The same spirit of faith, according to what is what? Written. Everybody got it? I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak. So he's comparing it how it works, okay? Faith works the same for us in the new covenant as it did for them in the old covenant. We believe it in our heart and we what? Confess it with our mouth. Hallelujah. The spirit of faith has been measured out to each of us. But we do have a responsibility to activate our faith. We have a responsibility to speak our confession of faith. We have a responsibility to walk by that faith. Because how many know a lot of people like to talk it, but they don't walk it. Come on. And also, if I could add one, you have to be able to endure through that walk until you are able to possess what it is you're believing for. In other words, never quit and never shrink back. Faith comes by, come on, faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing what? The word of God. It, guys, it's just the way we were created. It's when they hear the word. So that what is Satan from the beginning in Genesis, in the garden, he challenged what they had heard. Has God not said? Because he knew, if I can get them to doubt what was said, I've got them. Now I've got them in agreement with me. And so it's very important to understand how it works in that way. I know a lot of you are thinking, Pastor, I've heard this taught for 20 years. Stay tuned. I'm not done. I'm getting to something I think is very important for the season we're in as a church and even what's going on in our nation right now. To hear his word and to hear the promise, then faith comes. How many of you ever heard a word? Maybe it's something you've not heard in a while. There's such an anointing on it, such a revelation that you could sense faith get excited in you. You know what I'm saying? You're like, wow, I just hush, preacher. I want to respond to what you said. But how many of you know, if you don't do anything with it, faith comes. But if you don't do anything with it, if you don't respond, if you don't receive it, it'll become dead. Very, very important to understand that. One thing that helped me, there are three, I believe, foundational truths that are bedrock to having an overcoming faith. And there's three. Let me give them to you really quick. You know them already, but I just want to remind you. Number one, in Jesus, how many of you are in Jesus? I'm looking around the room. I know all of you. I believe all of us are born again. We love the Lord. If you're in Jesus, you always have hope because Jesus says he will always lead you into triumph. So how many of you know if you're in Christ, there's no reason to be hopeless? Would we agree? Would we agree? We're in the land of the living. Amen? Hallelujah. And even what the enemy, think about this. We know these verses. Even what the enemy would intend for evil, God will what? Work it together for good because we love him and are called according to his purposes. So that has to be bedrock in your life because we don't always understand what we're going through, but we got to understand something. Because I believe in the goodness of God, I know he's getting ready to weave this thing into my favor. Secondly, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. I looked it up. It means nothing. There's nothing he can't do. Amen? Hello? Now, we know where we first hear that is when the angel said to Mary, Mary's just basically saying, look, I've never been with a man. I don't have, you know, how am I going to have a baby? And then the angel made it very, very clear. Nothing is impossible with God. I love what the Passion says. Not one promise from God is empty of power. For nothing is impossible with God. I like that. There's an amplified version of it, too, that kind of brings out that fact. It's talking about the power of the promise in the word. There's where the power is. So nothing is impossible with God, okay? God's got us, amen? He's going to work this out. Thirdly, the third truth is all things are possible to he who believes. Do you see the connection? Yes, God can do anything, but there has to be a believer, right? Hello? There has to be a man or woman of faith who's pressing into that. Go with me, if you would, to Mark chapter 9. There's a story here we've read and we've talked about it before, but it's the father of the epileptic boy that brings his son to Jesus to be healed. In fact, he first brought him to Jesus' disciples and they couldn't do anything with him. And Jesus was even frustrated when he had to come to him because he said, you know, how long am I going to put up with you guys? You know, you should have been able to handle this. But how many of you know when you have an epileptic boy and you go to the miracle workers' disciples who also were having success getting people healed, by the way? Why else would they have gone to them? But yet your boy is still in this helpless condition. And as we know, epilepsy even today is something that rarely can ever be eliminated except through, you know, healing and deliverance. So we look at verse 22. He's describing it to the Lord. He said, would you agree that it's a very hopeless type situation to be in? Okay. Can you imagine the disappointment the father felt? And look at verse number 22. He said, it is often thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you could do anything, take pity on us and help us. I mean, that's quite a statement. Would you agree?
Yes.
That's quite a statement. He looked at the Lord of glory and said, if you could do anything, have pity on us and help us. Amen? And Jesus said, if you can. Are you with me? All things are possible to him who believes. And immediately the boy's father cried out and said, I do believe, help my unbelief. Hallelujah. Anybody ever felt that way? I believe, but man, I got to get rid of this rotten unbelief. Hallelujah. I love the Lord. Do you love the Lord?
Amen.
Are you called according to his purposes? Amen. Amen. Well, do you believe that everything in your life, he's working it for your good? Do you believe that? Do you believe God can do anything?
Amen. Yes.
Well, guess what? If you'll believe, then he can do the impossible in your life. I mean, and that's where we're at today. And I believe it's where we're at in society today because we've had so much teaching, so much training on various things. We've memorized things. But I'm telling you, those truths have to be the bedrock of what we believe. This world, I think there's a passage in Ephesians that probably best summarizes those truths. And it's Ephesians 3, verse number 20. Ephesians 3, verse number 20. Now to him who is able, say he's able, to do far more abundantly beyond. Say abundantly beyond. All that we ask or think. Notice that. You could never stretch God out too far. You with me? He could go beyond what you ask or think. According to the power that works where? Within us. By the way, what is that power? What do we learn? It's the same power that raised Christ Jesus from the grave. We're talking resurrection. You don't get no higher power than something's dead is alive. Amen? That's resurrection power. To him be the glory. Now get this. Where? Is it on the screen? There you go. In the church. Amen? And in Christ Jesus. To all generations. I think that includes us. Amen? To all generations forever and ever. I mean, I love that passage. Don't you? Don't you love it? It's telling us that there are no limitations to what God wants to do. Jesus repeatedly said to those who came before him, be it unto you according to your faith, to what you believe. What if we had a faith that didn't limit him? Hello? What if we had a faith that didn't limit him? Are we believing for anything that requires faith? A lot of believers who've accepted Jesus aren't believing for anything that requires him. We just put it in the category of, Lord, bless me, and I'm going to work really hard. But God's wanting us to believe him because he wants to go above and beyond our abilities. Would you agree? He wants to go above because that's where he gets the glory. Hallelujah. Are we believing for anything that doesn't, you know, are we believing for anything that requires the Holy Spirit to show up? It's been quoted often of Billy Graham said, most of what's done in the church world today, if you took the Holy Spirit out, 90% of what they do could just carry on. And so we have to understand, I believe, are we limiting what God wants to do? Now, Jesus challenged Martha, as I said, outside of Lazarus's tomb. And he told her, he said, when she was kind of back and forth with him, he said, I am the resurrection and I am the life. And he reminded her of the first word that he sent. If you remember, before Lazarus died, the word he sent to them, y'all remember what he said? This sickness shall not end in death, but for the glory of God. But when Jesus shows up, Lazarus is in a tomb, and he's been there 4 days, right? But how many know that was not the end of Lazarus? It wasn't going to end there. We think, well, it's over. And that's what the enemy wants you to do. He wants you to disengage your faith, shrink back, and say, well, it's done. And it wasn't over, and that's what Jesus was saying, just believe. He had to get her to believe. Believe, and you will see the glory of God. And we all know the story. They rolled away the stone, and Lazarus came forth, and a dead man was walking. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. He wants us to believe, and he wants us to walk by faith more than we want to. I'm convinced of that. I believe he wants it for us. And our lack of our faith or our lack thereof is either going to make our... Here's what the Lord spoke to me this week. He said, some people make me wonder, and some people make me marvel. And I thought that was kind of curious. I go, where are we going with this, Lord? And the Lord told me there's many, many times that he wonders at our unbelief. And there's other times when we really activate our faith that it makes him marvel and he's amazed. Because he loves it. It excites him. It means, oh, they love and believe in me. So how many of you want that to be? I want to make the Lord marvel about what I'm believing for. Anybody with me? Hallelujah. Let's not be like those in his hometown. Remember that? Let's look at that account in Mark 6. Mark 6, verse number 1. Jesus went out from there and came into his hometown. And his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue. And the many listeners were astonished and saying, where did this man get these things? And what is this wisdom given to him? And such miracles as these performed by his hands is not... Now here's where they started to lose track. Are you with me? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, and Joseph, and Judas, and Simon, are not his sisters here with us? And what does it say? They took offense at him. Amen? They took offense at him. They were stumbling over, the word offense means stumbling block. They were stumbling over who he claimed to be. Are you with me? Because they only knew him according to the flesh. Y'all with me? Very important. And Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except where? In his hometown and among his own relatives and in his own household. Don't say amen. Your household may be listening. And he could do no miracle there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. We would take that. Amen. In verse 6, what does it say? And he wondered at what? Their unbelief. Wow. I don't want to make him wonder because I don't believe. Anybody with me? And I believe their unbelief caused the Lord to wonder. But in the same way, what were they doing? They were limiting the flow of the anointing off of his life. Would you agree with me that Jesus was just anointed that day as he was the day before and the day after? Come on. With all the miracles, all that was going on. Now, what do you think different about Jesus? But when people try to act like faith doesn't matter, well, it absolutely does. It does matter. Amen? Amen. See, we want an anointing to flow in under the door and touch us, and I just was lucky enough to be there that day. And that's not how it works. It's faith. It's people are pulling on him. Remember the one with the issue of blood? Remember, Jesus stopped the procession after she grabbed his garment and said, who touched me? And his own disciples said, what do you mean, who touched you? Everybody's touching you, right? But see, somebody touched her in a different way with faith, and he felt virtue flow. And that's why he stopped and realized something. Somebody has pulled on the anointing. The same people, other people that were touching him, he was the same anointed Jesus. He wasn't coming in and out of the anointing. Are y'all with me? Very important we understand that. But I want to make him marvel. Do you remember when he saw Nathanael coming? And he said, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile or deceit." And Nathanael said, "How do you know me?" Don't you love the guy? Duh. "How do you know me?" He said, "Well, earlier, when Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." And he was so blown away by this. He said, "You are the Son of God. You are the Messiah of Israel." And Jesus marveled at him. He said, "Because I said I saw you under the fig tree, you believe." He said, "Oh, you're going to see greater things than these. You're going to see the heavens open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Amen? Hallelujah. I like that. I like these stories where men who believed God actually caused God to go, "Wow, I love this. This is all it took for this guy." There's another account. I referenced it earlier when we were praying. I want us to look at it together. Oh, let me say this about Nathanael. I know I said this a couple of weeks ago, but what I think the Lord loved about Nathanael was not only that his heart, he was just real. He was who he was. He wasn't deceitful, but also he just had a childlike faith. He just believed. How many know we need to have a childlike faith? Not childish, but childlike. I mean, man, I believe it. That's a promise. I'll take it. And that's the way Nathanael was. He just believed, easily believed. And there were others, obviously, that did that. And it just blesses the Lord's heart that we take him at his word. Amen. Now, let's go over that account with the centurion. Go with me. Let's read that account in Matthew 8, verse 5. Matthew 8, verse 5. When Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, imploring him and saying, "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, fearfully tormented." And Jesus said to him, "I will come and heal him." Now, I don't know about you, but if Jesus said, "I'm going to come," I'd be like, "Yes, sir, let's do this." I'd have called ahead and said, "Y'all get the banquet table ready. He's coming," right? But the centurion said, "Lord, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof, but just say the word." Everybody say, "Say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority with soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. To another one, come, and he comes. And to my slave, do this, and he does it." Now, when Jesus heard this, he what? He marveled. And he said to those who were following, "Truly I say to you, I have not found such great faith with anyone in Israel." This man's simple understanding of authority and faith and the power of the name of Jesus and the power of the word of God just made Jesus marvel. He said, "Nobody's been believing like this guy's been believing." Hallelujah. How many of you want to walk in a greater level of your understanding of faith? Amen? This is important. Consider the faith that we've received, beloved. Through Jesus, we what? Overwhelmingly conquer. He always leads us into triumph. And if we will believe it, nothing is impossible. Amen? Let's just consider that. Now, how do we faithfully steward such a measure of faith that has been entrusted to us? Let me quickly give you these. Number one, believe. Open your heart again. If you've allowed your heart to shut down, open your heart up again to the Word of God. Open your heart up again to the promises of God. Amen? Amen? Get your imagination and your thoughts in line with, start hoping for something again. Amen? Let him enlarge your heart. Always remember, he can go far beyond what you're asking and thinking. It could be we have some really puny asking and thinking. So open your heart. Secondly, activate your faith. You activate your faith by not only believing it in your heart, but what? Confessing it with your mouth. Amen? We know this is simple. Faith 101. The word is near you where? In your heart and in your mouth. That's how you keep the word near you. Number three, hold fast. Hold fast. Endure. Amen? Endure. Press through. Weather through the storms. What does it say in Hebrews? Through faith and patience we inherit the promises of God. Hallelujah. Number four, do not settle any longer in complacency. Complacency is a real problem. Faith needs movement. Come on. Faith needs movement. Because without a corresponding action, how many know the woman with the issue of blood, she could have sat home and talked about, "Boy, I wish he'd have come by my way," but she changed that. She got her faith moving and she went after it. Amen? I want to encourage you in that. There has to be the corresponding action because faith without any action is dead by itself. We all know these words. Remember that verse in Zephaniah we've talked about over and over where the Lord said, I'm going to come and I'm going to punish the men who say in their hearts, that are stagnant in spirit, who say in their hearts, the Lord will not do good or evil. That's what it means. How many know stagnant waters are not moving, right? So I like to kind of think of faith as like a river. Keep it flowing, amen? Keep the flow going in your faith and keep it going. And there's various ways to do that, through your action and even through your words, just to continue to keep that flow going. Keep it moving, keep it active. Let me just say this to you respectfully. We're not really alive in our faith and living our faith if we're not speaking it and walking according to it. Amen? Because if I say I believe something, but I don't walk in my life according to that, do I really believe it? And finally, number five, enter into his rest. Everybody say rest. It's that peace of Jesus, the shalom of the Lord. He is the what? The Prince of Peace. Get that. His rule and authority as a prince is one of peace. God will soon crush Satan underneath our feet, right? The God of what? Peace. There's a peace that is promised to us in the kingdom of God. Jesus, as we know, was sleeping in the bow of the boat during a storm. He had great peace. He was demonstrating that peace. How many know when you have peace and you start to take authority, things start to happen? But how many of you ever tried to take authority when you're frantic? I have. I've gotten all worked up because I wasn't in peace. I wasn't in a place of peace. And so now I'm just reacting. I'm reacting to a storm. I'm reacting to an evil report. I'm reacting to whatever happened. You know, we just stepped off the curb one too many times and hit the bus, or the bus hit us. But I'm telling you, God wants us to get to the place where we activate our faith and our authority, it's in the place of peace. Amen? And remember, that peace surpasses all of your understanding. So it's not about a peace that the world gives. Everything's fine. Nothing wrong in my life. Everything's hunky-dory. That's not the peace of God. The peace of God, you can sleep in a storm. Hallelujah. Come on now. Faith isn't supposed to stress you out. Faith isn't supposed to make you more anxious. Hello? Faith is actually to enter into that place of peace. What happens when you dwell in the love of God? It casts out what? All fear. And so it's a place of rest. It's a place of peace in the love of God. I believe like never before, though, it's time for such a time as this for us to activate our faith again and begin to believe God. We are joint heirs with Jesus. I don't know about you, but I want to start to ask him for the harvest of the nations that he told us to ask him for. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it shall be done for you. Amen. How many of you believe that? By the way, that's in red in your Bible in John chapter 15. I honestly believe if we lose our lives for Jesus' sake and for the sake of the gospel, I honestly believe we can pray things and believe and receive them. Sometimes the focus is totally off of why we're praying for what we're praying for. We're not in the Word of God. That's not become our... This Word of God is the plumb line for you on how to pray. Because when he says ask anything, that's not a blank check for you to get what you want. But it's to delight in him and pray and believe what he's delighting in. Amen? Amen. Should have had a roar of amens there. We need that. A lot of people have abused that verse. And I'm not promoting that today at all. I guess the verse we hear so many times regarding praying for our nation and for the election and all that's coming up and what's going on. But, you know, for me, it's even beyond that. To me, it's this generation, which is affected by government, and it is affected. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's not important to pray about these things, but I'm here to say today, to me, it's about this generation. God, I believe, wants a harvest from among this generation. And I believe with all of my heart, there has to be another awakening spiritually in our land. But what is the verse? We know it well. If my people who are called by my name, my people called by my name, my people called by my name, if they will what? We know it. Humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways, amen, seek my face and all that, I will what? I'll forgive their sins and heal their land. Notice what he says before that, I will hear from heaven. Very important. I want to share this in a way that nobody thinks that I'm trying to, I'm just going to go on and say it. You guys are mature enough, right? At home, you're mature enough in Jesus' name. Because we are born again, we're created in Christ Jesus. Say amen if you believe that. Amen. We are partakers of the divine nature. Are you with me? We have a supernatural origin. We're born again of it as imperishable seed, right? We actually have a privileged authority in his name. And we have a legacy of triumph and victory. Are you with me? Frankly, I believe the faith of the Son of God that we operate demands that we do something great in our life for God. That actually was my passion when I first started working with the youth years ago. I knew these kids, yes, I wanted them to be saved and make sure they went to heaven when they died. But I also knew God had something for them, and I wanted them to experience to live and operate in the kingdom of God here upon the earth as it is in heaven. And as I began to pray into that, the Lord gave me a verse years ago. It's in Daniel 11:32. It says, "The people who know their God will rise up and do exploits." Just various translations translate it differently, but I like that was my favorite one. The people who know their God are going to do something. Are y'all with me? If you know God, there's something that faith will cause us to do because it's the faith of the Son of God. Hallelujah. In a way, he looks at our generation. And then we have this verse here where it says, if my people, guys, that's a timeless statement. Is it not? That's a timeless statement. If my people, does it not apply to us today? When God judges the affairs of man in a city, a community, a state, a country, a nation, when God judges the affairs of man, can I tell you, he first looks at his people. Hello. He looks at his people and those who are called by his name. And what are we doing? And what has been placed upon us? I believe the fate of this generation rests upon the church. I really do. Because judgment begins with the house of the Lord for a reason. But also revival starts in the house of the Lord. And when it starts in the house of the Lord, then suddenly harvest begins to break out. Amen? Are y'all with me? I could sit and complain about this generation. Or I could say, you know what? We have to enter into revival. We have to enter into a breakthrough. We have to press in to a new place in God to where we truly have a sickle of harvest in our hand. Amen? For the sake of this nation. The last verse I want to share with you before we pray together is found in Habakkuk. We know Habakkuk was the one that said, I'm going to place myself on the wall and see what the Lord will say to me, right? Write the vision and make it plain. We know that verse. But Habakkuk goes on to pray a powerful prayer in Habakkuk 3. If you look there with me, Habakkuk 3, I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. It starts out this way, a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet according to Shigionoff. And I don't know if I said that right, but you don't know if I said it right either. Any Hebrew scholars here today? Okay. Sounds close enough, right? That's the way we would say it in the South. Hallelujah. Shigionoff. All right. Amen? Do you know what that means? It's important. The reason I brought attention to that. Here's what it means. You ready? A highly emotional, passionate, and poetic form of prayer. I'm so glad it said that in my Bible, and I didn't add that to that. Some people say, you charismatics. Right? You know? No, it says there, a highly emotional, passionate, and poetic form of prayer. And I saw another translation said it was also very much so probably was sung with great zeal. It was, you know, most of the prayers in the Bible were sung. That's why they're called Psalms. They're sung before the Lord. But here's the prayer. Lord, I have heard the report about you and I fear. Oh, Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. And in your wrath, remember mercy. How many know a day is coming when the wrath of the Lord will come back to the earth, right? When Jesus comes, it's... Hello? But what is he saying here? Revive your work. The cry here is... I didn't have time when I added this right at the end. Actually, I added that verse to my notes this morning. It was just all my heart. God was stirring my heart about that because I did a teaching on that a long time ago. But other translations say basically is this, Lord, we've heard about you. Revive your work again in our days, in our generation. Amen? Anybody with me? Lord, stir us up and revive us. Revive up the work of the Lord now in our day and in our generation. I don't want to just talk about what he did. I want to talk about what he's doing right now. Amen? In the midst of our generation. So that was his prayer. Hallelujah. If you would, for me right now, would you just put your Bibles aside and your phones and devices aside? And I want you to pray with me right now. I'm going to pray over you, and then I want to activate something in your heart. Are y'all ready? Just get in a position to receive. I don't want you to stand up. I want you to just focus on the Lord. I don't want you to lose your strength. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray over you right now. I don't want you to repeat after me at this point, okay? I just want to pray over you. But I do want you to engage your heart in prayer. Pray in the Spirit. Bring forth your amens and your yeses and agree with me right now. Everybody ready? Yes, Pastor, we're ready. All right, okay, here we go. Oh, even those of you at home, you may feel funny. Maybe you're on your couch alone. Pray with me right now, everybody together. Hallelujah. Lord, we have heard of your greatness, and we have heard of your goodness, oh Lord. And yes, Lord, we've even know of your wrath that is to come, but we thank you for your mercy, and we thank you, Lord, that these are the days of grace. And Lord, I cry out today on behalf of a generation and on behalf of the church. We say, Lord, revive your work in our days. Revive your work in the midst of our years, Lord God, and in the years of our children and our children's children. Hallelujah. Lord, let revival come, I pray, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, enlarge our hearts. Come on, agree with me for that. Lord, enlarge our hearts. No more limitations. No more limitations. Come on, say that with me. No more limitations. Help us, Lord, to believe big. Help us to dream big, Lord. Help us to imagine big. Stretch us, Lord, to ask big. Come on. Come on. Stretch our hearts, God, to not limit you to things that don't even prove that you were there. Lord, we want it to be so obvious that your glory shows forth in our generation, Lord. Help us, oh Lord, I pray. Also, now I want you to agree with me for this now, Lord, that we would believe easily. Come on. Lord, we want to be able to come like with the faith of a child and a childlike faith. And Lord, we just say, Lord, we hear it, we believe it. Faith has come and I activate it. I stand on your word, Lord. I want to believe easily. I don't want to have to be talked into believing. I want to respond to you, Lord. I want to respond to your goodness. I want to respond to your truth. The truth of your word. Hallelujah. But also, Lord, we also, even in coming like a child to believe, we also, Lord, want to contend passionately. Come on. Lord, we want to contend passionately as prayer warriors. Is there anybody in here want to be a prayer warrior? Lord, did you would stir our hearts to pray as prayer warriors, Lord God, as radical worshipers, as your holy priesthood, as we minister unto you, Lord God, and fill the bowls of incense, of intercession and prayer, and worship before your throne. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. Help us, Lord, I pray, to pray in this way. Lord, I pray you place a desire in us all to believe for and to receive your harvest, the harvest of souls in this generation. Lord, that we would be willing, come on now, pray this with me now and just believe with me right now, that Lord, we would be willing to be taught and equipped and trained to be discipled, Lord, to realize, Lord, to humbly realize where we've not been effective and to be able to be teachable and trainable, Lord God, for such a time as this. To be fruitful, Lord. To passionately, Lord. Come on now, stay with me. To passionately confront the taunting giants of this age. Come on now. To passionately confront the Goliaths of this age. That taunt the living God. That taunt the children of the living God. We just say no more in the name of Jesus. No more in the name of Jesus. No more will we bow down to the giants of sickness and disease and all the other things that are going on in our culture, Lord God. Suicide and abortion and all the various things, Lord God, that are killing and stealing life. Addiction, bondage, sex trafficking, slavery. That we would rise up, Lord. That we would rise up, Lord. Lord, to labor faithfully in your harvest. Come on, say this with me. Here am I, Lord. Come on, say it with me. Here am I, Lord. Send me, use me. I'm yours, Lord, for your glory. And Lord, we want to pray today that no matter where our life takes us, our jobs, our business, our vocation, our schooling, wherever life takes us, Lord, we want to be faithful there as your witnesses. Amen? As your witnesses who not only testify, Lord, but know, Lord God, you've called us to demonstrate the power and glory of your kingdom in the lives and hearts of others, to show your love and your power, your great love. Say your great love and your great power. Hallelujah. And Lord, I pray, may this house and many, many houses that are the remnant, Lord God, houses of prayer, houses of worship, and may this house, Freedom Gate, Lord, be a house of prayer for all the nations. Hallelujah. May we be a house of healing, Lord, for your glory. Come on, say it with me. For your glory, oh Lord. And Lord, I pray you stir our hearts to believe that in the restoration of this age, we will see again, day by day. Come on, say it with me. Day by day, souls being saved and added to the church. Day by day, that it would just be common to see such a harvest, Lord, of those being saved. And Lord, of the prodigals coming to their senses and coming home in the name of Jesus. Where whole households get saved. Hallelujah! Whole households becoming saved. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, declare hallelujah. Jesus! Lord, I ask you to breathe upon our prayers. Expand us and enlarge us. To even now not limit what we just prayed, to not limit it to our past experience, to not limit it to our frustrations and our disappointments. For Lord, I know he who believes in you will never be disappointed. Hallelujah! And we thank you for the faith that overcomes the world that you've given to us. Hallelujah. And I pray a blessing over you today for a devotion to prayer, a devotion to ministering unto the Lord in the presence of the Lord, a devotion to intercession, a devotion and a longing. I ask the Lord to bless you with a devotion and a longing for the presence of the Lord. Anybody want that? For the glory of the Lord. For the glory of the Lord to rise upon you and upon me and upon the body of Christ for a time such as this. For a time such as this. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. One last thing I want to pray over you and minister to you. Just stay in an attitude of prayer. I felt like the Lord said this, pray to receive a refreshing of the spirit of faith. And I said, okay. Because I don't believe, like anything in the spirit, I don't believe it comes and goes. I believe it's whether or not we're walking in it. And I just want to share this with you before we activate this, because I want you to understand. Faith is about having a revelation of what you can't see in the natural. Everybody with me? Because that's what it is. Faith is seeing what you're hoping for that hasn't manifested yet. So when we pray, we're going to pray for our spiritual senses to be awakened. Because again, what is faith? It's the substance. It's the evidence of what? Yeah, what you don't see in the natural. So it's a spiritual evidence. You see it with vision. You see it with the eyes of faith. This is why the Bible says in Jude that we build up our most holy faith doing what? Praying in the Holy Spirit. Because as you're praying in the Holy Spirit, I believe what happens is this is to be a time of gaining revelation to see what you're believing for. Are y'all with me? That's why you pray in the Holy Spirit, to build up your most holy faith. So I'd ask if you would, just close your natural eyes right now. Let's all just be at peace right now. We're not looking at each other. I don't want you even looking at me. Just close your eyes. And again, just open your heart. And would you just begin to pray in the Spirit for just a few moments? Go ahead. Just begin to pray in the Spirit for just a few moments. Just stir yourself up. Come on, just stir up the anointing. Stir up the gift. Just keep your natural eyes closed right now. Just imagine the eyes of your heart being open and activated right now. Thank you, Jesus. Now here's some things that the spirit of faith sees. Now get that right now. The spirit of faith sees. And I want to activate these in your life right now. I just want you just to stay in agreement with me right now in your heart. I pray for you today for the spirit of faith to gain a fresh revelation of the truth of what is written in the Word of God. Amen? Amen? Lord, I pray for a spirit of faith that when you read the scriptures are going to come alive to you by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. Lord, release that anointing, Lord, and that spirit of faith. I also pray, now these are things specifically I heard from the Lord. I pray that it'll bless you and you'll open your heart to it. But the Lord reminded me, when Moses saw the burning bush, the Bible says he turned aside. But here's the best part. The Lord saw that Moses turned aside, and then he spoke to him from the burning bush. And I heard the Lord say, I was just awake for a few minutes this morning. I'd not even gotten up yet. And I was just praying about what to do today. And the Lord reminded me to tell the people of God that there's going to be some burning bushes experiences in your life. But you have to be looking for them. And you have to be willing to turn aside to see what the Lord will say to you. Amen? How many of you want that? How many of you want that? It may not be a literal burning bush, but it'll be something in your life that might be considered common. But you're going to know the Lord's telling you to stop and take time to come before Him, and He's going to speak to you right now. Lord, I release that right now. A spirit of faith that we will not pass by our burning bushes, that we will not pass by our God moments, Lord, where you wish to show us something very divine and otherworldly, even in something that would be natural. How many of you receive that right now? I pray the Lord will just anoint you with the spirit of faith for that. Hallelujah. Also, the spirit of faith to see the triumph and victory of the Lord over the giants in this land. Amen? That you would be like David. And when a Goliath is screaming and yelling and taunting, you would say, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine who would dare taunt the armies of God?" Lord, release over us a spirit of faith to see your triumph, even over giants, in the name of Jesus. The very giants of our culture today, in Jesus' name. Some of you, the Lord is imparting a warrior spirit in you. A lot of nerve, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Come on, come on. Also pray for a release of an anointing of the spirit of faith on you to see the ripe and ready harvest that is before us. Amen. To lift up your eyes and see that the harvest is ripe before us right now. Some of you I know really want that right now. So just tap into that right now with your heart. Receive it right now. Jesus, Jesus. I also pray for a spirit of faith to be so mighty and powerful upon you that you will see the good report and not the evil report. Amen? You will see the good report of the Lord, and you will not see and dwell upon the evil report. Hallelujah. Lord, beloved, that could be a doctor's report. That could be something you got notice on your job. It could be a lot of things. But I hear the Lord saying, believe the report of the Lord. And He's going to anoint you with the spirit of faith to see what God intends to do in that situation so that you will not fear. Say, fear not. I also pray for a spirit of faith to grant you to see increase and enlargement. I'll say it again. Increase and enlargement, not decrease. For I hear the Lord saying today, even as I put this in my notes today, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me, tell my people, I did not create them to decrease. I created them to increase and to multiply. And I pray the Lord today blesses you all with an ability, with the spirit of faith to see the increase. In the name of Jesus, say amen to that. Also, I pray, now this is an interesting one, but I'm just going to go on and release it over you. I'm just obeying Holy Spirit this morning. A spirit of faith, get this, to be able to operate in and flow in the prophetic gifts of the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible clearly says, beloved, that all shall prophesy. Amen? Come on, come on. Male, female, sons, daughters, all shall prophesy. And in this prophetic order, the Lord says, you shall be men and women of dreams and of visions given by the Lord. Hallelujah. You will see in a situation. You will see and bring forth the prophetic word. You will see and bring forth a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom, says the Lord. And you will also see and have discernment. Come on, respond to that right now. Come on, just respond to that in your heart. Because some of you right now, we thought that was only to be on a man or woman in the office of a prophet. But I want to tell you today, the Lord told me to release that as a part of the spirit of faith. It's the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That you would function and operate in those things. Hallelujah. I also pray for you today for a spirit of faith to see. Now get this, it's important. To see healing, to see restoration instead of being overcome by the sickness and the disease. Are you with me? To see life where in the natural you would see death. To see strength where you would see weakness. Are you with me? And I pray that by a spirit of faith you will begin to see that. That you too could walk by a man at the gate beautiful who was lame and say, what I have I give unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. I don't know about you guys, but I want that right now. Come on. Do you want it right now? Father, give us eyes that see the healing, that see the breakthrough, that see the miracle. Hallelujah. And not become intimidated by the disease itself or by the infirmity itself, but to see the victory, to see the healing, and to see the restoration. Hallelujah. And I just add to that, I heard the Lord say that He wants us to get to that place when we lay hands on somebody to pray for them, to bless them, that we just operate in a spirit of faith and we begin to see the end result of what God intends to do. And I believe for anyone that would receive that right now, it's going to release the gifts of healings in your life in a new and powerful way. And how many know we need that in the body of Christ? How many know we need that in the body of Christ? Hallelujah. Almost done. Almost done. Two more. This is in the same flow, but is that you by a spirit of faith would see miracles and breakthroughs instead of seeing an impossible predicament. Yes. Some of you got that right now. Some of you got that. Grab hold of it. Grab hold of it right now. To see the miracle, to see the breakthrough instead of the so-called impossible predicament that you're in. Hallelujah. with such a confidence that nothing is impossible with God. But beloved, he doesn't want you to only believe that verse. He wants you to see the impossible be possible. Hallelujah.
Yes, come on.
And I hear the Lord saying even today, this is where endurance comes from, because you've seen it.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Because you've seen it. You've seen the breakthrough. You've seen the other side of the storm.
Yes.
You've seen the victory.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Say endurance. That's the key. One more thing. You already know this, but one more thing. Father, I pray that you would grant us such a powerful spirit of faith that we would see on earth as it is in heaven. Would you lift your hands right now? Lift your hands. Lift your face up right now. I know we've been going a long time with this, but just stay engaged here as we wrap up. On earth as it is in heaven. Come on, pray with me. Pray with me, please. Everyone, our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed, holy is your name. For you are greatly to be praised. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. And thy will be done. Be done here on the earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day, Lord, our daily bread. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, declare it. Provision. Jehovah Jireh, our provider. And forgive us, Lord, our sins and our transgressions, as we walk in forgiveness always toward others, my Lord. Lead us not, keep praying, lead us not to temptation, but deliver us, O Lord, from all evil through the sacrifice and the mighty name and the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Forever and ever. Amen and amen. Stand up to your feet right now. Hallelujah. Lord, we just thank you. I thank you anytime we yield ourselves fully to the spirit of faith, the faith of the Son of God, hallelujah, that we can overcome. And I thank you, Lord. Help us to see. I ask the Lord to bless you with a diligence to pray much. I hear the Lord say this, pray much in the Holy Spirit. Pray very, very much in the Holy Spirit and build up your faith, says the Lord. For with that, your eyes will become sharpened. Your ears, your ability to hear a word will be awakened in you like never before. I speak it over you. I release it over you now in Jesus' name. Say, be it unto me, Lord.